Insects include, bugs and butterflies, and I'm going to go ahead and put spiders in there too, even though they're not technically insects. But all insects in general really are the base of the food chain. So everything starts with insects. Insects are pollinating our crops. They're pollinating our flowers. Insects feed birds. So they're incredibly important. And of course, they feed spiders and other predatory bugs like wasps. So they are just absolutely critical to a thriving, healthy environment and ecosystem. So if we don't have insects, we're in a lot of trouble. So in the last couple of months, there have been lots of news reports based on studies saying that we are in an insect apocalypse or insectamageddon or something like that. And so there's been some conflicting data about exactly how bad things are, but we know that things are bad and the insect numbers are in a precipitous freefall. And the next couple decades, if not sooner, if we don't do something drastic to create the habitat that insects need, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
What are some of the major human factors that contribute to pollinator extinction?
So that would be habitat loss. So we're talking forest loss. We're talking the domination of lawns in urban and suburban areas. And out where I am, here in the middle of the country, farming is big business. Farming is everywhere. So corn and soybean conversion. So we're converting prairie to corn and soybean fields. And we're not just losing the prairie, which is critical habitat. We're losing the windbreaks where the trees and the hedgerows are on the margins that are also critical habitat, especially for our 4,000 native bee species that do the bulk of our pollination services.
Now, what about in a suburban environment? And what could someone do? For example, I have my backyard. What could I do to help ensure that the local insects and the local pollinators have something that can help them out?
You know, I always like to say that every plant matters. So even if you're planting just one aster or one milkweed or one goldenrod, you are making a significant contribution to helping insects survive. Our smallest native bees, you know, they're like tiny little flies. They can only go three blocks before they have to refuel. So if there's not something in those three blocks, then they're in a lot of trouble. So what you can do is try and minimize your lawn. If you don't think about areas where maybe that doesn't need to be lawn over there, what else can I do with that? Maybe you let it go wild. Maybe you sow in some flower seeds and grass seeds or something to diversify the habitat. Maybe you make the foundation beds around your house a little bit deeper. Instead of 3 or 4 feet deep, they come out 6 or 8 feet from the house. And think about diversity and structure. So trees, shrubs, flowers, and grasses at different heights. These are what help pollinators and other species thrive.
And if anybody's having any trouble with that, I'm assuming they can just go to their local garden center or hardware store, and those folks might have some good answers, correct?
I would go to your local native plant nursery. Hardware stores that sell plants seasonally or even big box stores that sell them seasonally don't always have the answers and the staff don't always have the knowledge. If you can find a native plant nursery, I know there's certainly a lot more in the Northeast than there are down in the middle of the country by me. And of course, native plant societies are a great resource, as well as horticultural extensions at local universities have a plethora of information on native plants.
Now, Mr. Vogt, you'll be coming to the Adirondacks this week on Wednesday up in North Creek. What will be the subject of your presentation?
I'm actually going to be giving two talks. The first one is a keynote address based on my book, A New Garden Ethic, Cultivating Defiant Compassion for an Uncertain Future. And basically, the gist of that talk is, in a time of climate change and mass extinction, how and for whom we garden matters more than ever. So that would be the philosophical, cultural, ecological why we need to be gardening in a different way, not just pretty for us, but pretty for other species. Now, my second talk in the afternoon is actually going to be doing the how and the when and the what. So how you can create a sustainable, ecologically thriving landscape for wildlife, including their pollinators. So we'll even go through a small little design and thinking about what plants we can use and what structural techniques we can use to create a good habitat.
And lastly, for those who cannot attend this week's symposium and want to learn more or just want to raise awareness of the issue of pollinator extinction and loss of our native insects. How can people get involved?
You know, I think it's really important to get involved locally, and I do believe that starts in your own house. You know, especially in suburban and urban environments, we're used to seeing lawn. If we get used to seeing things that are a little bit wilder, more native plants, more flower beds, then that is actually going to be, you know, creating a really big change for people, because they need to see examples, successful examples of native plant landscapes that work and look nice. But also getting active in your local communities, groups that are planting native plant gardens or growing native plants and doing outreach to children as well as businesses and schools and churches. These are all critically important to changing how we manage our landscapes and how we design them.